Well, we thank Col for leading the meeting, and good to see everyone along tonight. Thank you very much for your support and your attendance. Do remember the mission. Come as often as you can. Pray for the meetings and invite others in under the sound of the gospel. And we thank Matthew for coming and singing. I heard last night singing was good as well. I wasn't unable to be here last night at another meeting. But we thank Matthew for coming and singing so well. What two lovely pieces that he sang. Really brought us to Christ. And even think of the last one, I'd rather have Jesus. Well, can you say that tonight? Can you say that with all your heart? Or you say, no, I want the world, I want sin. Or can you say, I'd rather have Jesus? I would rather have Jesus. There are many here like me here tonight in this meeting. We trust if you're unconverted that you'll come through the preaching of the Word of God, you'll come to find Christ as your own and personal Savior. We want to turn tonight to John's Gospel chapter 4. And we're going to break into the reading. John's Gospel chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ, passing through Samaria, met a woman, a very sinful woman, at the well, and she had returned to the city of Samaria here, this city, and had proclaimed what she had heard and who she had found. So in John 4, we want to break into the reading in verse 39, and it says here, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the sayings of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." And amen. And may God bless that short reading of his word to all of our hearts. Tonight I want to speak really on that last little phrase the people here said to the lady, "I know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." And that's what we want to look at tonight in the closing minutes of this meeting. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it's been a real joy to be here already. We have enjoyed the singing of the congregation, the old singing, Lord, the old-fashioned gospel hymns, and then our brother Matthew singing so well about Christ. And Lord, how he is a wonderful, how he's a precious Savior to those who believe. And we ask now for a sense of your presence. We ask you, Lord, to be with us in this meeting as we proclaim the Word of God. May we do it with clarity and with power. And we pray for any, Lord, who's in tonight and are not saved, that they'll settle this matter even tonight about their soul's salvation, and they will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask now for thy blessing and pray for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that thou art the Christ. These people said, the Savior of the world. We find when we come to the Bible and look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when people came face to face with him, some spoke very critically of him. They didn't like him, didn't like what he preached, and they didn't like what he did. The Lord Jesus Christ refers to such people. In Matthew 11, verse 19, he said, here's what they said, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking." And they say, is what they were saying about the Lord Jesus, "Behold a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." As they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and looked at his life and how he sat down even with sinners, and there he is sitting with these people and he's eating with them, and they said, "This man, he's a gluttonous man, he's a winebibber, he's a friend of publicans, and he's a friend of sinners." They were speaking here critically of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Matthew 12, verse 24. The Lord Jesus, in that particular chapter, he did a great miracle. There was a man who was possessed with a spirit of the devil, and the Lord Jesus healed them. Well, the Pharisees, the religious rulers, when they heard of this, they said, "This fellow," now they're said of the Lord Jesus, "this fellow, does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. This is, we know what he's doing. We know how he is delivering people from these evil spirits. He's doing it by the very power of the devil. And you can see here are people, and they're speaking critically of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in John 7, verse 20, the people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil." That's what they said. That's what they said of Christ. The blessed, pure, holy Son of God who came down from heaven, they spoke critically of Christ. There are people who do that today, of course. Many people speak critically of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a liar. He's a fraud. There's no such person as Jesus Christ. How often, even in my door-to-door evangelism, there are people, and I ask them the simple question, "Do you believe in God?" And they say no. And I ask them, "Do you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ?" And they say no. They speak critically of the Lord Jesus. Maybe that's you in the meeting. Maybe you've been speaking critically of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, in your workplace, among your mates. People do it. They do it. Maybe you work among them. You hear it coming to your ears. They blaspheme the pure, the holy Son of God. Well, there are others who spoke highly of Christ. We think there are, for instance, in John 1, verse 49, Nathanael comes face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says to Christ, "Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." And here's a man, and he's speaking highly of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming face to face with him, and he says, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And you can follow that through the Bible. You can think of Nicodemus. In John 3, verse 20, he says, "Thou art a teacher come from God." They realize there's something unique here about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we find here when we come to this passage. This woman, sinful woman, had found the Messiah. She had found the Lord Jesus Christ. And she runs into her city, and she proclaims the good news here to these people. "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" What a sermon. What a message came in to this particular city. Come and see a man. Come and see him. And they did come. And they did listen. And they did believe. That's what we find here. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him in verse 39. And then verse 41, and many more believed. Believed, it says here, because of his own word. They listened to Christ preaching the word of God, and they believed. And they said the word to this woman. It says, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." We know who he is. We've heard him. He's the Savior of the world. In the closing minutes of this meeting tonight, through the finishes of my preaching, I want to bring before you, everyone in the meeting, the Savior of the world. I want you to stop tonight. I want you to consider. Want you to think of the message you're going to hear. You're going to hear a message that many people over the world has never heard, never read about. You're going to hear about one. He's the Savior of the world. And I want to say just a number of things here tonight. First of all, when I come to the Bible, and we bring this title to the Lord Jesus Christ here, we find in the Bible, he's a promised Savior. Because in the very first book of the Bible, we find God promising to Adam and Eve the promise of a Savior. Because in Genesis 3, it recalls to us and reveals to us how they fell and how they sinned against God. Because God had said to them in Genesis 2 and verse 16 and 17, he commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it." Now, the command of God was very clear. Of all the trees you can take, you can eat of them. But you see this one, don't touch it. Don't touch it, don't eat of it. And then we find, why? Why? This command was given. And it says here, the consequences of sin, for in the day that eateth thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so the sentence was very plain here. The day you touch, the day you eat of this tree, there's death, physical death, spiritual death, eternal death for those who sin against God. Now, Adam and Eve, we know, they did sin. They did sin. They broke the law. They knew what God had said. They knew what they were to do. They knew they were not to go to take of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they listened to the voice of the devil and they sinned against God. Now, the Lord just could have wiped them clean off the face of the earth. But there's mercy with the Lord. There's mercy with the Lord. And instead of that, now there was a curse, of course, placed upon the man and the woman and Satan as well. God made a promise. He would send a Savior. He would send a Savior. And that is found the giving of the promise in Genesis 3, verse 15. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and I shall bruise his heel. And God is saying, I'm going to send one, the woman's seed, into the world. Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to bruise Satan. He's going to defeat him. And that's the first promise that's found in the Bible, that God is saying, I will send a Savior. In the first book of the Bible, you think there of Abraham with his son up Mount Moriah in Genesis 22, verse 8. Remember, looking for a sacrifice, going to sacrifice his son. He says, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That's the first mention in the Bible of the word lamb. Abraham knew and he believed the promise. And there's one going to come into this world, and God is going to send his son down into heaven, from heaven, and he's going to come to this earth, and he's going to be the Savior. He was promised the giving of the promise. God made a promise. The unfolding of the promise. When you read the Bible, read the word of God, we find the promise unfolding as we read the Bible. For instance, in Isaiah 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so we're told here some things about this promised Savior. He's going to be born to a virgin, he's going to be a son, and you're going to call his name Emmanuel. So we see here the promise unfolding. And then in Micah 5, verse 2, it tells us he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so the promise, God had not forgotten about it. Years is passing. Years are passing by. God made the promise. And years are passing on. The human race is multiplying. But the promise God has given, it's coming. It's coming to fulfillment. He made a promise he would send a Savior into the world. And so we find then the fulfilling of the promise. That's what happened in a place called Bethlehem. Remember, the Virgin Mary brought the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And we remember the words of the angels that were spoke at his birth. And the angels said unto them, to the shepherds, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Do you see it? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Notice the words, the promise God made all those years ago is now being fulfilled, and the angels are proclaiming this message, and they're proclaiming it confidently, and they're proclaiming it boldly, and they're saying here, there's one who is born. Do you know who he is? He's the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So a promised Savior. The woman in this passage, we didn't take time to read the whole chapter, she realized and did believe that one was coming, the Messiah, verse 25. She says, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Well, she had heard the message, but she didn't know that he had come. The Lord says, I am he. And so we find here when we come to the Bible about the promise of the Savior, a promise Savior. And we believe this. I believe it. There are people here tonight in this meeting. We believe that Jesus Christ has come down from heaven. He's God's Savior. He is sent into this world to save us from our sins. A promise Savior. I wonder tonight, do you believe Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior? And do you believe that he has come into this world? Well, notice another thing about the Savior of the world. He's a punished Savior. Now, when the Lord Jesus entered this world stage, he came with a purpose. He came with a purpose to offer himself a sacrifice for our sins. Now, we think of the words, his own words, because in Matthew 20 and verse 28, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Now, notice his words. And to give his life a ransom for many. And so here we have the Lord Jesus Christ telling us why he's coming into this world. He says, I'm come to give my life a ransom for many. In other words, he has come to die. That's what he's saying. That's not the only time the Lord Jesus said this in his words. We think there from Matthew 20, verse 18 and 19. He's making a journey with his disciples. And he says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ telling why he's come into the world. He said to the disciples, we're going up to Jerusalem. And I'm telling you, I'm going to be given into the hands of those Pharisees, those scribes. And they're going to take me and they're going to kill me and they're going to crucify me. He has come to die. That's what we find. Our brother's already quoted that verse in John 1, verse 29, in his prayer. When John saw him, what did John say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John knew why Christ had come into this world. He had come to die. He had come to die upon the cross. And so we find here, he's a punished Savior. Maybe you said to me tonight, what's the explanation? Why did he die? Why was he punished? Well, let the Bible answer. Because the Bible tells us of Christ that he did no sin, nor he knew no sin. But here's what the Bible says for one reference in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Notice, why did he die? It was our sins. That's why he was punished. That's why there is this place called Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ, he never broke the law of God. He never sinned. But we have sinned. And you have sinned in this meeting tonight, because the Bible is very clear that all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, and we have all broken God's law. But here it tells us why Jesus Christ died. He died for our sins. And Matthew sang so well tonight, how deep the Father's love for us. Because the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, came to die for our sins and to punish for them. That's why we read in Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Now, we can nearly just stop, because the word wounded here, it means tormented. I cannot tell you tonight how great the Lord Jesus suffered on the cross, but I know this, he suffered hell, and he suffered greatly, and the Bible says he was tormented on the cross. The wrath of God the Father fell upon his own dear Son, our sins placed upon him. God hates sin. I want to say that tonight to everyone in this meeting. God hates sin. And even when he saw it upon his own Son, he spared not his own Son, as Romans 8 tells. He didn't spare him. His wrath fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died. In Psalm 53, verse 10, it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And God loved you and I so much, he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, and he punished him. He punished him for our sins, that we might be saved. And that is the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, his love, his mercy, his death, his sacrifice upon the cross for our sins. Because the Bible says he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put away sin. He finished the work he was given to do. Just one offering. Just one Calvary. Just one shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, here is upon his Savior. Do you ever stop and think, why the cross? Do you ever stop and think, why this place called Calvary? Do you ever say, well, why is it always people's preaching, and they're preaching about the blood, and they're preaching here about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and they're singing about Calvary? Why is it? Because God sent his Son to die for us at Calvary. And he was punished. He's a punished Savior. He took our place upon the cross. That's why we sing that great hymn, Man of Sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry, now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He rose again from the dead, but he's a punished Savior. God sent him into this world to die for our sins. And I ask you tonight in this meeting, do you consider the cross? Do you consider Christ? Do you consider how much he loved us? But he died upon the cross for sinners like you and I. Well, these men, what a day it was. The lady came into the village and said, "Hey, hold on a minute. I've got good news for you. I found him, Messiah." She tells him of Jesus Christ. I hope you can say, this is good news to my heart tonight. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm far away from God. Now I know that God loves me so much. He sent his Son to die for sinners like me. And the Lord Jesus shed his blood. He's upon his Savior tonight. He's a great Savior. I want to say another thing about him tonight, this great title. He's a powerful Savior. I'm glad tonight, and our brethren here with me, Mr. Brown and Colin, we love telling people about a great Savior, the Lord Jesus. He's a powerful Savior. It says in Isaiah 63, verse 1, they were saying, but who is this that cometh up from Edom with dyed bows or dyed garments from Bozrah, that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, listen to these words, mighty to save, mighty to save. Speaking of Christ, here he is in the wilderness, here he is coming up. Who is he? Well, listen. He's mighty to save. You see, he's the Savior of the world. This was the message falling from the lips here of this people. This man, they've just met him. They've heard him preaching. They've believed in him. And now they're saying, this is the Christ. He's the Savior of the world. He's a mighty Savior. He is powerful. He has power to save sinners from their sin. That's what we find when we come to the Bible. You think even of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that was given to him at his birth. Remember in Matthew 1 verse 21, and the angel said, and the message was very clear, and she shall bring forth a son, and I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What is Christ going to do? Remember the title, Savior. He's going to save sinners from their sins. He's going to save them from them. He's going to take them away from them. And you think of that tonight. Think of the drunkard. He's in the pubs. He's in the clubs. He's an alcoholic. He loves the booze. But here's wonderful, wonderful news. There's a mighty Savior who can save him from it. He can save him from alcohol. He can save him from drugs. He can save them from his power to cleanse a harlot. He can save the gambler. He can save the vilest sinner. Think of the passage. Think of the lady he met at the well. Do you remember he said to her, go and call your husband. She says, well, oh, by the way, I haven't got one. He says, no, you haven't, but you have five. You have five husbands. And the one who's with you, he's not your husband. Not true. She was shocked. She was shocked what she was hearing. I perceive you're a prophet. But here was a woman, and she's living in wickedness, and she's living in sin. And to many people, there was no hope. There would be no hope for this woman. How could she change her ways? How could she give up such a lifestyle? I tell you how. The Lord Jesus saved her. The Lord Jesus saved her, changed her, and she was saved. And you can go right through the Bible, you can see of Legion, you can see all our people held in sin and held in wickedness, and the Lord Jesus, in his love and his mercy, he saved them. He has power to save the sinner from their sins. Even these people that all came out in the city, he saved a lot of people. It doesn't say how many, but it says many more believed in verse, because of his word. There were many people believed. And didn't matter who they were, didn't matter about their background, didn't matter about their sin, didn't matter. He saved them. He's a powerful Savior. And the Lord Jesus can save you from your sins. He can do that. I don't know what your sin is tonight. I don't know what's holding you tonight in this world. Is it drugs? Is it immorality? Is it lying or cursing? Some particular sin, alcohol, whatever it may be tonight. Is there something holding you tonight? You know, I would love to break free. I'd love to break free from it. And I can't. I've tried and tried. I know one who can save you from your sins. The Savior of the world. He can save people from their sin. He's done it for me and done it for others in this meeting. He's a powerful Savior. All other religions have no Savior. But this is the truth of the Bible. He's a Savior of the world. He saves from sin and he saves from hell. Because I come to the Bible and we have to tell it as it is found in the Word of God. Why there is a heaven, and we sing about heaven and we preach about heaven and we encourage people to get onto this pathway that leads to heaven. We have to warn people that there is a place called hell. That's God's punishment. That's God's punishing house, a steel. Remember it says in Psalm 9 verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. But people say, why, that's what they deserve. That's what they deserve. The wicked, oh yes, shall be turned into hell. But the verse doesn't stop there. No, it goes on to say, and all the nations forget God. Forget God. Don't even think about him. Don't come to Christ. Just forget about him. Live your life. And maybe that's you here tonight in this meeting. You say, well, I certainly have done nothing really wicked. No, you're not saved. You're away from God. And your sin would take you down towards hell. That's the teaching of the Bible. You only have to read it. You only have to read Matthew 7 about the narrow way leads to life, the broad way, many's on it. Where are they going? They're going down to destruction. But the Lord Jesus can save you from going to hell. That's the message of the Bible. That's the good news. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus, was delivered us from the wrath to come. Isn't that amazing? He's delivered us. He has saved us from the wrath to come. He's the Savior of the world. And tonight in this meeting, if you're unconverted, you're heading down to this place. It's called hell. And I do not know when you're going to die. And you can lose your soul at any particular time. And you'll find yourself down into hell. But there's one tonight can stop this. And there's one tonight can save you. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has power to save you. He has power to cleanse you in his blood from all sin. He has power to keep you. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. There may be some tonight says, I would get saved, and I know I've heard it, and all the people have heard it too. I couldn't live the life. I couldn't keep it. I couldn't keep it at all. Maybe that's what you say here tonight. I couldn't keep it. Listen, he's power to save. He saves you. He keeps you. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He's power to keep you. And he's bringing me home only for that. I've been away long ago. He's keeping me. He's a powerful Savior. He can save the most wicked people. He can save the most. And he had, read the Bible. There are testimonies and illustrations of this right throughout the Word of God. And he can save you. Don't be thinking you're too bad. Maybe that's your heart tonight. Maybe that's the lie of the devil he's saying into your ear tonight. You're too bad. He's the Savior of the world. He can save you. Do you believe he can save you? Do you believe he can forgive you and cleanse you? He's a powerful Savior. He saves the very uttermost. That's what the Bible says. Can I say, my time's going on, he's a precious Saviour. Notice I said here, we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. He's the only one. And you have got one particular thing in the world that's, boy, that's precious. There are not two Saviours. And there are not three Saviours or four. There's only one. There's only one Saviour. And they said, we know that this is agreed to Christ, the Saviour of the world. And there's no other one. And that's what Peter said in Acts 4, verse 12. Remember, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Notice what Peter is saying. He said, we have to be saved. And he said, there's only one name. And there's no other name. There's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see that tonight. Because there's people trying to save themselves, even though the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And some people has a DIY religion. Do it yourself. They're trying to save themselves by their works, by their deeds, by their church attendance. But there's only one Savior. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe that's you here tonight in this meeting. You're religious. And you believe in God and you go to your church. You say a few prayers and you try to perhaps live a good life. But that will not save you. Because if that's it, I asked you the question tonight. Why did Jesus come from heaven? Why did God send his son into the world if you could save yourself? Why? Sure, it's a waste of time, the Lord Jesus coming. If you could do it yourself. But here's the truth, you can't do it yourself. All your self-righteousness, all your works, all your prayers, all your deeds cannot save you. Your sin is so great, you need a Savior. C.H. Spurgeon said, some people have a notion that going to church and chapel, taking the sacrament and doing certain good deeds that apprehend to a respectable profession of religion are the way to heaven. If they are put in the place of Christ, they are rather the way of hell. And that's what a great Baptist preacher preached. And if you have anything between God and you, and your works, whatever it may be, sacraments, prayers, whatever it may be, it's not the way to heaven. He says, this mighty gospel preacher from the past, he says, it's the way to hell. You see, God sent his son to be the Savior. And so we find here, he's a precious Savior. He's only one. There's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's a personal Savior. Remember the angels spoke about a Savior. In Luke 2, the Samaritans could say, the Savior. Mary could say in Luke 1, verse 47, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. He's a personal Savior. And you know, I'm glad here tonight to be in this building, in this city, to talk about a personal Savior. He's my Savior. He's mine. And there's many people tonight in this meeting could stand to their feet and say, he's my Savior. I've repented from my sin. You must repent from your sin. You must repent from your sin and believe the gospel. Come to Jesus Christ. And when you do this, he's your Savior. He comes into your heart. He comes into your life. And he cleanses you in his blood. And he gives you everlasting life. He's a personal Savior. He's my Savior. And if you have no Savior, you're lost. Fanny Crosby, who wrote a great number of hymns, 8,000 reckoned, she was blind. And one day she was in the home of her friend, Mrs. Knopp, who had just obtained a new large organ. And the woman, Mrs. Knopp, was a musician. She played a little tune for her. And she says, sure, what do you think this could be? And immediately, Fanny Crosby replied, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. The words came to her immediately. Jesus is mine. He's my Savior. He's the Savior of the world tonight. And I'm asking you here in closing, is he your Savior? I'm not asking you, do you know about him? Because you do know about him. But is he your Savior? He's my Savior. Have you repented from your sin? Have you trusted Him alone for salvation? Have you been washed in His blood? He's a Savior of the world, and you need Him. You need Him. You may live without Him, but you dare not die without Him, and you dare not go into eternity without Him, for you're lost. So He's calling you tonight to come. To come to Him, and He will save you. And maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. I hope He has. If you have any questions, see myself, Colin, or Mr. Brown. If you need to speak with us, and settle this matter tonight, says, I want Christ to be my Savior. I don't want to lose my soul. I want everlasting life. I want to be saved. I want to be in heaven. You need a Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ is that Savior. Come and trust Him tonight. Put your faith in Him, and He will be your Savior. We can help you. Please, please speak with us, and don't go home without the Lord Jesus.